Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome along to this, the Continue Club. All of you Press Xers, and indeed, all of you XC Beasts. This is the video game podcast that has all of your gaming needs covered, whether you're a seasoned player or just a bit of a dabbler. Welcome along to Press X to Continue. My name is Stefan Powell, and I'm once again joined by the actor, comedian, good egg, Einel Tomlinson. Hello, Einel.
Hey, Happy New Year, Steph. And to be fair, we've got so many names now for the Press Xers, XEBs, Continue Clubbers. It's a mess.
It's a mess. It's a mess that needs sorting. And you know, I was going to come to this later on in the pod. And if people are just joining us, basically, you know, this is your first episode. It gets good in a sec. But we're just arguing.
We got to do some admin first.
We've got some admin to get out of the way. We're trying to figure out what to call this little community that is building around the pod, which is
It's not a little community anymore.
It's a growing community. You're right. So Mongoose in our Discord, which you can join, by the way, put this out there, Einel, okay, right? He's suggesting, why not have the community named the Continue Club with members within the community then called the XC Beasts?
Oh, I like that. And also, Mongoose is female as well, and she's Welsh.
Mongoose. Listen. Firstly, apologies for the misgendering. However,
let's get that straight.
Hey, look, I'm Welsh, so you know you can forgive me, surely, right? Okay, it's a mistake, but a great suggestion though.
It's a good suggestion. It's very fair.
It's fair. Everyone's happy. Frankie Ward's happy because it was her idea. She came up with it. You know, the Continue Club. Yeah. Glenn Moore's happy. He came up with XC Beasts. So yeah, maybe we can do that. Anyway, we've jumped slightly straight into the admin side of things. Welcome along. If this is your first ever Press X, to Continue. I hope you've stayed with us through the admin.
It's got to be done. You got to do the admin. Get it out of the way. And then we can just have fun.
This Einel is, by the way, a man who has spent his day doing life admin. So he's got admin on the brain.
It's just literally, clearly. It's
intense, isn't it? Life. If you talk about video games, it's just so much nicer, isn't it?
I'm so glad to be talking video games with you after the day I've had. So finally, I can talk about some fun stuff rather than boring things on the phone.
I feel your pain. My wife's first day back in work today after 9 months off of maternity leave, leaving me one-on-two with a 2.5-year-old and a 9-month-old. So I'm glad I survived the day as well. And I'm here with you to tell the tale, I know.
Hey, I think you might win.
I'm here anyway, so that's okay.
Yeah. Two kids under five, you win.
Thank you. No, it's just the two of us today, Einel. It's a little intimate pod to kickstart the year.
Cozy.
It might be because, you know, we wanted to give our, you know, usual cast of characters a bit of time off over Christmas and didn't want to, you know, hassle them with times and dates. It could be that we sort of forgot our admin. Who knows?
I reckon we just can't get them off the controllers. That's what it is. They're playing some games. They just don't want to stop playing. Yeah.
They're playing those games they got over Christmas. But we're not stopping with traditions, okay? It is unpopular opinion time. And I think we were having a discussion. I've got one, you've got one. Yours, I think, is better. So let's go with yours this week, and we'll save mine for next time.
Right, this is a big one. This might cause some issues out there with the Press Xers, with the XC Beasts, with the Continue Clubbers. My one is, I think that the Xbox Kinect was greater than most gamers will admit. I think it was ahead of its time.
I know that you love fitness games, and that was big on the Kinect. Is that what it is?
No. Listen, you've got to remember the climate in which the Xbox Kinect came out in. It came out where everyone was like a bit iffy with having a camera in their room, microphone that's always listening to them. But forward to 2025, listen now. Look, what? Everyone's got themselves Googles out there. If I say, okay, Google, what's the weather? Half of the listeners' devices are going off right now. Yeah, it's always listening. There's always cameras. Everyone's got like Google Nest hubs and Alexas and Siris. Like the cameras and the microphones are always there now. So they were ahead of the time. Like now everyone's used to it, whereas before everyone was causing issues. But with that, we lost so much functionality, so many unique ways of playing games that we just don't have anymore. Now we just have plain controllers now. Everyone's got the same controller with the two analog sticks and a couple buttons and a couple triggers. Every pad is like that. Every Xbox pad for the last two generations has been the same. Same with like the DualSense and like the DualShock and the DualSense. It's got some nice rumble features, but it's still pretty much the same fitting. Whereas before, with the Xbox Kinect, you had like voice commands and stuff like that. You could just say Xbox on, you turn your Xbox on. And think about the type of games we could have now if we still utilize that technology. Like, I've probably said this before, but think about horror games. Imagine you're playing like Alien Isolation or something like that. And if you make noise, the alien will find you. Or maybe even if you move, the alien will find you. You have to sit still. You have to hold still. You got to be silent. Think about the type of games that we could get out of that.
Hey, look, I think you're preaching to the converted a little bit here. I think the problem it had was just the initial cell got it all wrong.
Don Matrick did messed up a few things.
And it wasn't seen as like a gamer first sort of device and a console either, which was, of course, it was sort of became hand in hand with. And I think
that's what you want, though. You want it to be hand in hand.
Yeah,
that means every developer has those tools, and they know that every gamer who has that system has those things.
Yeah, no, I get it, but I think because the console flopped, because the cell was like, oh, look at all this other stuff you can do. Oh, and by the way, you can play video games.
Yeah,
that's why the Kinect never really caught on. And I wonder if you're right, in a couple of years' time, you might have a device that's very similar to what the Kinect was doing, just sold very differently.
We just have to wait another two generations, and I hate that. For the same stuff that we already had.
We already had it, yeah.
We already had
you
it.
You're still a proud owner of your... I mean,
I still rock it.
Yeah, we've talked about Get Buff with Mel B many times.
But like, Steph, like, imagine, right? Me, I'm playing like a multiplayer game, and then all of a sudden I see you pop online. Stefan's now online. Ooh, what? You know what the fuss is like trying to get someone in. All right, I can't pause the game, so I've got to wait until I die before I can invite you in. I quickly got to do it. Go through the menus. How about I just say, hey, Xbox, invite Stefan into the party. Boom! Why can't we do that? We could have done.
You're preaching to the converted, Einel. You know, and let's see what people think about this. You know, comment when you see it on social media, all that sort of stuff. We've had this, we've got loads of unpopular opinions going on in the Discord as well.
Uh-oh.
Which is great. I'm just flagging this one, and I'm doing it especially, Einel, because of what you do as a job, partly. Soul Beaver says this: it might be due to my age, but I don't get watching other people play games unless I'm stuck in a game and after a little help. I also don't get listening to gaming soundtracks. Soul Beaver, I like a gaming soundtrack, and in fact, we've got an entire feature about creating a gaming soundtrack. So I hope you know, just forget about that part of the pod, but enjoy the rest of it. And I was a bit the same with Twitch, but I think it's because the second screen generation now, it probably is just an age thing, isn't it?
I think so. And I think it's a mindset thing as well. And I also think you just have to find the right streamer. There's a streamer for everyone out there. Like, I think how people kind of perceive it is like, hey, I'm a streamer. Watch me play some games. And they think everyone's like that. And where you have like a plethora of different personalities. And I liken it to like sports. Like, I like football. I like basketball and stuff like that. But I also like watching people play it. And it's the same as that. Once you find like a type of game or type of genre of titles that you like story-driven games that maybe you don't have time to play it yourself, but you would like to experience the story of that game, then watching a streamer and going through that adventure with them is really cool. And it's really fun.
So give it a bit more time, Sword Beaver. Maybe try and, like Einel says, try and find someone you gel with, that you sort of resonate with. Maybe
that's what it is. It's about personalities. Find the personalities that suit you.
That might change your approach on that. But hey, look, it's a good opinion to have. That's why we like unpopular opinions.
That's
the whole point of the feature.
Can't shoot it down.
And this is our first recording, obviously, back since the Christmas and New Year period, really. And I want to share something with you, Einel, that I've discovered over this time away that I didn't think. This was a sentence that I didn't think I would say.
Ooh.
But I've found my new local multiplayer fix.
Oh.
You know, because I've been craving like local, good local multiplayer games for time, okay? And we talked about Overcooked being one of the sort of few examples out there of really good local multiplayer.
Oh,
we talked a bit about it in our Christmas episode, didn't we, about games you can play together?
Yep.
You know what the answer is?
Oh.
It's been staring at us this entire time. WWE games. I was playing WWE 2K24, okay, with my nephews, five of us.
Yeah, Royal Rumble.
I was playing as Jake the Snake, who's my favourite wrestler from back
in the 90s. Oh, you brought him back?
Brought him back, absolutely.
Retirement.
I had to send my nephew some cash to buy him from the store because I wanted to play him that badly.
Oh, was he DLC?
He was DLC. Right, but I loved it because it was so fun. The explosion in the room when someone pinned someone and it's like, quick, get him, stop him from, panic. Yeah. It was amazing. And I loved wrestling games on my N64. I used to remember the publisher, THQ?
THQ used to do all of them.
All of the best
ones. They had it
ones.
On lock.
They had it locked out. They used to do WCW versus NWO. They had WWF No Mercy.
Yeah, because that.
Because there was the other one then. The wrestling games were made by a publisher called Acclaim, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like those ones as much. WWE Attitude being one.
Nah.
But I loved
THQ were the guys.
They were the
guys.
They
did the PlayStation ones as well. The SmackDown games. They were fantastic as well. Oh, yeah.
But I had that feeling back then. I don't really follow wrestling anymore. Although I did watch that Netflix documentary, which was fascinating about Vince McMahon recently.
Vince McMahon,
But this was just such joy. Okay, granted, I didn't really, explore any of the options really, but we just beat
You didn't
each
make
other
your own character?
And we had a laugh. Well, we played for like a couple of hours, so I was like, I'm going to go retro and I'm happy with that. So I loved it. But did you play anything different or exciting over Christmas? Or was it more sort of the same?
Mostly, you know what? I did some Jackbox with the family, like I suggested on the Christmas episode. We did some. My mum loves it. Like, that's the only game my mum likes to play because she doesn't really she's not really into video games. But she loves quizzes and Jackbox is full of them. But other than that, I've been going backwards, Steph. I got myself an old retro portable and I've been playing some old school games, catching up on some old school games. I've been playing some Yoshi's Island on the Super Nintendo.
Nice,
and I went back to a PS2 game that I never played, Eco. It's an amazing title. Like, landmark in terms of game design, in terms of it inspired so many different game series, such as Demon's Souls and things like that. And so it's I was like, this is one of those games I've never played. I need to go back and play it. I went back to play it. I can see what the fuss is about.
So the device, is it just it's a retro, what is it exactly?
So I picked up myself an Aya Neo Pocket DMG. It looks like an old Game Boy, but it can play any title up to GameCube. So it's really fun.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, bit pricey. You don't need to get a device like this. There are cheaper versions, but this particular one, I was like, it's Christmas. I want to play some games and go back in time and play some old school games. And this was the one for me.
Do it.
Not an advert.
Not an advert. However, if they do want to contribute more of those devices to the podcast team, they're more than welcome to do that.
We love irony around here.
We absolutely do. Now, look, obviously, we want you to get involved. We've already heard from Soul Beaver and we heard from Mongoose as well, on the pod. All of those suggestions came through the Discord, okay? So you can find us through our social media channels. You can find the Discord, get involved in the conversation there. We'll chat about it on the podcast. Come and meet the team as well. Say hello. So just find Press X Pod on TikTok and Blue Sky or Press X Podcast on Instagram. And then you can get hold of us and see all of our all the clips. We let you know when the new episodes are coming out and who's going to be on and all that sort of stuff. So get involved. We would love to hear from you and see you in the Discord as well. Right. I wanted to start this episode, Ainel, by chatting about something I saw on social. I think I saw it on Threads. Mm-hmm. I think I'm still on Threads. Sometimes it pops up.
I haven't even started on Threads, but
I saw it. Okay, hey. Cool. But it's really interesting, okay? It's and I remember you talking about something similar in one of our previous shows about, the best way to play your games on a big telly with a certain sound, all the bells and whistles or whatever. You want the big graphical sort of impact. Well, this was a piece in the New York Times, and it's headline called Video Games Can't Afford to Look This Good, right? Ooh. And the piece basically argues that developers, big developers especially, can't spend as much money and time making games look hyper-realistic anymore because it's too expensive. They're not making as much cash. The returns are diminished as a result of that. And it's not what gamers want really anymore. So, and I just thought it's such a fascinating sort of take on it. It's like, oh, wait. That is interesting. And if you, you know, and I thought, we, you know, therefore it was worth talking about. But if you think about it, you know, they cost hundreds of millions of dollars to make now, these hyper-realistic top-end games. Profits can't match the costs anymore. People's attitudes to what they want from a game has changed. So I think I agree with it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you as well. Even though I do champion like playing games on the big screen TV, that's not necessarily all about graphics. I think we peaked with graphics a long time ago. And for me, the best looking games have come from like AA developers and indie developers that I've played. And it's about how unique the designs are. I mean, over Christmas, I played a game called Never, which was made by the people that made Gris, and it's a beautiful game, like animated, like you can tell they put a lot of love into it. It's like a 2D kind of platform action game. You play a young lady who has a giant wolf. I don't want to say any more than that to spoil the story, but
yeah, hashtag spoilers.
One of the best, like graphically, it's not. When I talk about design, I talk about like the art of and how unique it looks. And when you're playing the game, it flows so nicely. It's so fluid. The music is so amazing. That's what I want the big headphones for, or the big sound system and the big TV for, to see these designs in the big screen, because they look like art, pieces of art. And I've also been playing a game called Nobody Wants to Die. It's like a futuristic noir game. And
I was lurking probably, on your stream earlier, mate, when you were playing it.
It's probably the best graphics I've probably seen, of last year, and it's from a brand new AA developer, and so it's like you don't need those big. The AAAs don't need to chuck out big bucks into their games for them to succeed. People have voted with their wallets,
because I think the development times are now becoming so long. I think it's sort of starting to impact, like, you know, you look right, I was looking at thinking about this earlier. If you look at Uncharted, for example, the first game came out in 2007, the second one 2009, 2011, then a big gap till 2016, right? Now was, and a lot of that development work, it could have been for a multitude of reasons. One of the things would have been adapting to a new console and whatever.
Yep.
Was that game twice as good as the ones before it? I don't know. You could have made that 2 years earlier on the previous graphical package and had the same and had the same impact, I think, in terms 100%. Of storytelling and graphical experience. GTA is a classic example. Now, I know that the game's getting massive in terms of the scope of it as well, so that's a big part of it as well.
Yeah.
I take that on board. But you know,
I think open world games are slightly different.
Yeah, maybe, but like, you know, GTA 3 was 01, Vice City 02, San Andreas 04, then GTA 4 was 08, then 5 was 2013, 6 would be 2025.
Yep. Wow.
Question mark, according to Inel, possibly 2026. There you go. we've got news update on GTA 6 coming very soon, by the way.
Oh, nice.
But I know that there's more to it than just graphics and that, right? So, that's not necessarily just a fair comparison, but graphics will be a key part of that. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, like, games like Call of Duty, am I having, you know, which obviously keep up to date with the best graphics and try and make things look as hyper-realistic every year, and a lot of energy goes into how good does this look? Am I having more fun on the latest Black Ops as I was on the Black Ops 10 years ago? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And I think the AAAs have lagged behind graphically when it comes to, unless it's like The Last of Us. Like, that's probably the last kind of AAA game where I say, wow, these are the best graphics I've seen to date. Since then, I've seen other games surpass that. And as you say, I think what's happening is these games are ballooning. They're becoming not just having the huge campaigns, they're also having the huge multiplayer elements to them and the live games as a service systems. They want people playing them forever. And I'm like, people don't want that. Like, a lot of gamers just want a game that is like, as we've talked about on the pod before, just want like a nice 5 to 10 hour game, linear, get me straight to the point, nice, and then we can move on.
Yeah. Interestingly, I wondered if the industry is now starting to catch up with this and whether there's going to be a bit of a shift away from it. Because they have to, because look at all the layoffs. We talked about the layoffs before, whatever. But, you know, like, there's because Nintendo don't, I've never done this. You know, their device.
Nintendo are clever.
You know, there are games, some games that would run on, that do run powered by a potato.
But people love them, and they sell like them. The bucket loads.
You know? And so do you have to have a game that makes my PlayStation sound like it's going to take off?
Nintendo have been showing people for years you don't need to do that. When was the last time Nintendo had the best graphics in any video game? it's been generations, right?
Yeah.
But their games are still the best.
Yeah. It's artistic direction, isn't it? It's like the way you can make stuff look and like be pretty and stuff like that.
Exactly.
But look, we've put the link to the article in the Discord because some people are not disagreeing, but they're just saying, you know, Demi's commented, I was just looking at it now, I put this in our Discord earlier to see what people think about it. And he was saying, there are certain type of games I do really like realistic and, you know, hyper-realistic games. And I guess we're not saying that the industry should stop doing those, but I guess it shouldn't be seen as standard. Do you know what I mean? It should be an artistic choice rather than we have to do this in order for it to sell.
I think it's like an old school mentality. That's how they used to sell the consoles back in the day.
When
you saw the jump from like the PS1 to the PS2, it's like, oh, look at the graphics. It was it's all about the graphics. Now it's like, what's the difference between Xbox One, well, maybe that's a bad comparison, PS4 and the PS5, you're like, yeah, I can kind of see it, but not quite. And it's like, and so they're having to find other ways to kind of keep get people to buy these consoles when really, it's all about making like really like evocative kind of experiences for people to play through and have fun with their friends. Like, it's as simple as that, but like, I think the formula's kind of got lost.
Look at those puddles. Aren't they shiny puddles? Someone, you know, that sort of stuff.
I want to see the ray trace puzzles. Puddles are.
Yeah. Hit me up. If there's no ray tracing in those puddles, I am out. If that window isn't properly reflecting Spike Demand's eyes, then I'm not interested.
Oh, my God.
I know he hasn't got eyes because he's wearing a mask, but you know what I mean?
I get it.
But anyway, look, so the link is in there. So if you want to like see what people are thinking about that or add your own 2 pence to the conversation, then join us. Maybe you super love hyper-realistic graphics in games, or maybe you're still playing, you know, pixel art type titles and loving them just as much. Mm. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. So press X Pod on Instagram. And no, Press X Pod on Blue Sky and TikTok, Press That's X Podcast it. On Instagram.
There
I'm
we
getting
go.
There, Owen. I am no, getting no, there. Yeah, I'm
you
getting
got,
there
you
slowly.
Got it, you got it.
But look, we've got some exciting news for you now. Let's have the latest on GTA 6.
The Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
There's no GTA 6 news.
What are you two doing with my Hey, get away from my computer!
Nah, never!
That was the Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
Okay, there we are then. GTA 6. I mean, we're excited for it whenever it comes. I know, not convinced it's going to be 2025.
I'm not convinced, man.
Not convinced at all. Convinced. Right, so it is time for a little bit of a review now. We are going to talk about... In fact, you know, this is one of my first reviews for the new iteration of Press X.
Oh, yeah. It is.
It is, yeah. In fact, it is not one of us, my first, really. And so it is time to talk about Space Marine 2, a game that I have started and finished. I've actually completed a video game. This is one of them. Yeah. So if you don't know what Space Marine 2 is, let me set it up. It's the latest game, the latest video game made in the Warhammer 40,000 universe, right? If you don't know what that is, basically, in the 80s, a company called Games Workshop created this storytelling space that is sort of science fiction set in the 41st millennium. It's a very rich sci-fi fantasy experience. One of the oldest, deepest sort of fantasy intellectual properties in the world, I suppose. Now, it makes most of its money by selling tabletop war games and models. And you've probably seen the shops in the high street and stuff. Mm. But for years, since the early 90s, it's been making video games as well to coincide, to tell stories from within this space. Some of them not great, should we say? Some of them are pretty good. And this is the latest one. And so basically in the 41st millennium, humanity's hanging on by a thread, war is everywhere, and you've got some super soldiers called Space Marines. They're the main characters trying to hold the whole thing together. Now, this is the sequel of a game called Space Marine, and you play as the disgraced Ultramarines captain called Titus, who basically, after being banished from his chapter, is welcomed back to face a new foe and save a planet and an ancient artifact from a tyrannid horde, which are basically like locusts, nasty insectoid buggers, basically.
I could tell you're like a proper Warhammer fan because of you're going deep t-shirt. Into it. I love it.
I know. I'm trying not to get...
I love it.
I've got 30
years. No, you go off.
I've got 30 years in this. I'm trying to rearrange myself.
This is the most passionate I've ever seen you, man.
I am wearing a White Dwarf t-shirt today for this very occasion. White Dwarf is the magazine that used to go alongside Warhammer back in. It still, in fact, still does. And yes, I still buy it. So that's the setting. Essentially, it's a third-person shooter. It's like Gears of War, basically. There's a campaign mode. There's a PvP competitive mode. And there's a PvE online mode, which I know we played the other day.
We did.
It's
I love playing multiplayer games with you, but it was a special one. It was nice to play with you once the Space Marine.
I was getting my lore nerd on with Inel.
I loved it. As we was playing, every time we got to a little section, a little quiet moment, Stefan would like do a little lore dump, and he'd be like, like educate us on like oh yeah, this is from this, and this is from that. Oh yes, the Chaos Marines, yeah.
I'm just going to try and stop myself. Anyway, right. Basically, so it's a third-person shooter. It's like Gears of War, essentially, right? I think it's really satisfying to play. It makes killing aliens really fun, which is basically what you want to do it. You can shoot at a distance, but also it encourages you to get up close and personal with melee attacks. That's where a lot of the work in the game is done, mm-hmm. with some really tasty, meaty sort of moments when you hit specials to take out characters and execute
them. I think that's
them,
what,
like that.
Differentiates it from like Gears of War. Is Gears of War was all about cover and like taking cover and shooting from behind cover. This is about getting in people's faces.
Yeah, there's no cover mechanic in this game. It, partly because it's linked to the storytelling of the characters themselves, and also I think it does, like Einel says, it differentiates it from sort of other games in this sort of genre. I obviously love the setting. Clearly, I'm trying to rein myself in, and so. You know, I loved, and you know, I think fans of Warhammer 40,000 love how evocative it is of the space. It really sort of sets the tone nicely for what this company, Games Workshop, has built since the 80s. Okay, it's amazing what they've done. They're now in the FTSE 100, a company that produces toy models for people to paint is in the FTSE 100, right? It's amazing, partly because they've expanded to books and video games like this one. So I like the setting. I love how evocative it is. The campaign, Einel, is a tight 10 hours. Bosh.
That's the sort of time that you like.
Bosh.
10 max.
10, you're in. You
max.
Get into it. You're out. You love it. And it leaves you enough. It leaves you satisfied enough that you finish the storyline. But it also doesn't drag. And it also, and then you've got the PvE and the PvP modes to go off and explore if you want to do more of that. Now, the player versus the environment mode is very akin to Helldivers. Okay, so if you've been playing Helldivers 2 this year, it's similar to that. Slightly different in scope, because it's less of the sort of big, sort of the running, like the loose running around of Helldivers. It's a bit more linear in that sense, but very similar to that type of experience. So if you've enjoyed that, I think ultimately, if you're new to the setting and you're not sort of tied to it like some of us are, ultimately this game is just mega satisfying to like kill stuff. I think whether you're blowing stuff up or hacking and slashing away up, it's that satisfying feeling when you're getting racking up these kills is what makes a difference to the other stuff that is out there. And I think it does a good job of introducing you to the setting, making you care without bombarding you with information. It's there if you want it, but you don't have to. And I think it came at the perfect time, Einel. Now, we should say, we should take what Einel's got to say about this with a slight pinch of salt, because he is one of the characters in it.
that's why I'm staying quiet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. but for me, I think the game came at the perfect time, right?
Yes.
At a time where you just have these big AAA games, like we talked about, take 15 years, 10 years to develop. This is like that perfect middle bracket. It looks like a AAA game. It's a bit clunky around the edges maybe, but it looks like a AAA game pretty much. The voice acting is on point.
Thank you.
Especially a certain character. He's amazing. But like it gives you sort of the options and stuff that you'd want from a PvP online experience without feeling like the microtransactions are too much or sort of excessive. And I think it came along at a time where there was a gap in the market for something like this. You know, no Gears of War for a long time. And people who enjoyed that sort of stomp, stomp, stomp type characters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the power you have with it. And you do feel like a super soldier. You are battling hundreds of these Tyranid, floating around. The graphics are amazing, how they make it look like you're being swarmed, like with an infestation.
Yeah,
and you're just hacking through them.
Screen,
it's incredible. It's incredible. So I don't think it takes itself too seriously. I think it's challenging enough and rewarding enough, but also accessible enough. I've had a fantastic time with it, and I'm going to continue playing it. I think it's great.
Hey, oh, that's nice. as I can't really say anything other than that. You are the Warhammer expert.
Yeah, and I think, look, you know, people out here listening to the pod would be 40K fans as well, and we've seen games come and go. They tried Dark Tide, came a couple of years ago, didn't quite, you know, had a similar sort of idea in the sense of essentially a horde mode game, and it didn't quite land.
I'm just happy that you enjoy it. That's the thing, because I think, like, with franchises like this, when you turn them into, when they try to kind of, like, take them from one realm where this was coming from, like, a... It's got a very historic history.
Yeah,
and you have and you put it into the gaming realm. It's like, as you say, it's like you don't want to disappoint the fans. And there's been so many different franchises that have tried, like Star Wars games. They've been through it. Star Trek. They've been through it as well. And so it's like, you want to have a game where people like it serves like the fans, but also serves like the greater whole of gamers as well, and anyone can kind of get into it. And I feel like this is one of those games where, okay, most people can kind of get into this and enjoy it and have a good time, whether they're new to the universe or not.
And, you know, people might think, oh, this guy's clearly biased because he loves the game. And I've hated some previous Warhammer games because some of them have just been quite bad. Okay, there's a particular publisher who I don't necessarily want to call out that made a few that were
You don't have to say
none.
But so I know they know who they are.
I'm getting a bit more critical of this. The Metacritic is 88, right? So it's a super high.
That's good. That's good.
And I think what makes this game stand out is it does make you feel. Like, I think games are really successful when they make you feel like the character you're inhibiting. Does that make sense? Yeah. I feel like a powerful...
You feel like a space marine?
I feel like a space marine. You know, I felt like Captain Titus wielding his chainsaw.
Nice.
You know, I feel that when I'm using a heavy bolter, I feel like I'm using a heavy bolter. And the comparison would make is, if you played the Battlefield games, the Star Wars Battlefield games, Battlefront games.
Yeah.
Battlefront, sorry, not Battlefield, Battlefront. Yep. I always mix up. Battlefront.
Same developers, it's easy.
Yes. Now, the Battlefront games, I thought, were really good when you were playing as a trooper.
Yes.
But when you sort of got the upgrade and all of a sudden you could play
Luke Skywalker.
As Luke Skywalker or one of the Jedi, I didn't really feel like I was Luke. I didn't feel like Darth Vader, even though I had a couple of buffs. It didn't last very long, and then you'd be back as being a trooper. I didn't feel especially powerful. When I'm slashing these Chaos Marines or these Tyranid Warriors in half, I feel like a genetically modified superhuman. Do you know what I mean? I feel 9 foot tall. I feel like I've got two hearts. I feel like I'm an ass-kicking machine that's lived for hundreds of years.
Wow. See, this is why I say you need those, like, game. You need to experience these games with the right headset or the right sound system and the right screen. That's what I'm saying. And then you can feel it, like Stefan.
So I definitely felt it. So I think this game is for people who like shooting games, third-person ones especially as well, who love the carnage. Sometimes I found the carnage a bit overwhelming, I'll be honest. Yep. And I'd be like, oh my God, what the hell's going on? And I'm losing the camera and I'm just jabbing and it's a bit overwhelming. But if you like that carnage and chaos, you like shooting stuff, you like hacking stuff apart, this is a game for you. It compares to Gears of War, even though Einar says a very big distinction is the idea of cover or not cover.
Yeah.
But
as you said, it's a story thing. Well, and it's like these Space Marines don't hide.
No, they don't hide. They can't hide. They don't need to hide because
they're not scared.
Yeah. They got the adamantium, you know, whatever. They don't need to hide. They're cool.
They don't need to hide.
So I think it's great. It's going to cost you about £50 at the moment. I think it's done way better than the developers wanted. There's loads more content to come down the track. And it's going to be interesting to see if it can hold on to the audience that it's gathered. I think the player versus player stuff needs a little bit of work because I think it's quite basic at the moment. But the player versus environment stuff is great. The campaign is great. And let's see if they can retain that audience. You know, more stuff to come. It's going to set you back about £50. So let me know. What did you think of Space Marine 2? Whether you were a 40K fan or not, we'd love to hear from you. Get on the Discord. See if you can spot Einel's character without us letting you know who he is. We got a line. Can you give us a line?
Oh, you put me on the spot now. Like thousands of lines. I can't remember none.
I put him on the spot.
Oh, I got one. Shoot them, not me.
Einel was saying that to me the other day when we were playing it, to be fair.
Stefan, shoot them.
Shoot them, what are you doing? But it has gone down well, hasn't it, Aynel? You can talk about the reaction to the game, at least.
Yeah, and I will say, like, I've found that the 40K, like, fandom have been really, like, welcoming. Because I was, when I found out I was going to be playing, like, a Space Marine in this game, I was like, oh, I was excited because I've heard of Warhammer, but unlike Stefan, I never kind of experienced it when I was younger. And so I was a bit hesitant at times because I was thinking, I feel like I'm doing a good job, but I don't know how the fans are going to receive it, because you can never tell how the fans are going to receive things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to do your best and then put it out there. But when the game came out, like, loads of people were reaching out and saying how they really loved the characters and the sense, like, what, as you were saying, they really felt like they were Space Marines thanks to, like, the characterizations of it and obviously the amazing, like, graphics and like audio design. And so, like, I was been really happy, really humbled, like, when it came out in September, like, almost shed a tear, because I was like, I've never had such an overwhelming response of such positivity from a fandom before. So, like, big up the 40K lot.
Yeah, I think they're desperate to see the thing that they love represent. And Shay talked about this the other day when it came to, like, you know, in one of our previous episodes, you can go back and listen to Shay Thompson, the journalist, and she was like, when I want to see games represented in other medium, I feel like, you know, we don't need to, you know, don't need other medium to sort of validate the existence of it. And I think 40K fans, when they've seen games in the past and it's been a sort of a quick, fast job done, you know, like, quickly, and just to sort of turn a quick buck with the, using the IP, they get frustrated. Yeah. So in a game like this, which has clearly been loved as a game in and of itself, and then when you tie it in with the lore as well, it really ticks two boxes. It happened before with a strategy game called Dawn of War and Dawn of War 2. They were a sort of strategy games in this space that really worked. First Warhammer game was a game called Fire Warrior back in the day, where you played as a Tau warrior. So, like,
are you talking CD-ROM?
So that would have been PS2. I think Fire Warrior was PS2.
Okay,
but there are games like Shadow of the Horned Rat. Oh my god, now I'm putting, wow. I'm putting, and Chaos Gate, from, like, now I'm putting names out of the top of my head, from the 90s, you know, like,
wow.
There were, like, strategy games in this space. So they've tried various, but to have one like this, when you're walking around the space, the sort of home screen, essentially, where you're choosing what you're going to do next, you just feel like you're there, and it's just so great. So,
before you go on, I will say, one of the games that helped me get into Universe so I could, like become the character was playing Warhammer Bolt Gun, which I think it was like 2-3 years ago.
The hack and slash pixel game.
The pixel game, it's like Doom, but, like, in the Warhammer universe. Amazing. And from then, I was like, yeah, I'm down. I love Warhammer now. Yeah, like,
yeah. It's great. Let us know what you think of Space Marine 2. Have I oversold it? Were you a bit frisky? Obviously, it's a bit clunky around the edges, like I said. It is a sort of a AA game. Did they get on your nerves, those little bugs? Did you enjoy it? There was one cutscene in a moment where I nearly shed a tear, which was reminiscent of this particular scene.
I know the bit you're talking about.
This scene. So this is a different... Oh, I could bore you now. I'm going to stop myself. But it was very reminiscent of that scene, which is the picture from the Rogue Trader rule book from the 80s. Anyway, I'm boring myself.
Wow. This is you. This is Stefan.
Let me know what you think of Space Marine 2. Did you love it as much as I did? Did you have questions? Press X Pod on Blue Sky and TikTok. Press X Podcast on Instagram. Talk about it in the Discord. We'd love to have you in there, because we are growing a lovely little community and we love seeing everything that you're seeing. And I'd love to get your thoughts on Space Marine 2 in that. And talking of that, building community stuff, we're adding to this Spotify playlist. In fact,
yes,
I'm going to send you, because I've built it. So let me send you it now.
Oh, the official one.
And so basically, we are building a playlist. I've just sent you the link, see if that works. We're building a playlist of our favourite gaming soundtracks, or favourite songs from video games, to create the ultimate game soundtrack. And we want you to put your suggestions in as well.
Oh, nice.
And we've had a couple of calls here from the Discord. So let's see what you think of these suggestions. We've got ones in there already. I put Streets of Rage...
I see my suggestions in there, sir.
Aynel suggested some stuff from
A Familiar Place. Yeah, from Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon.
That's it. Yeah. Familiar place, right? Okay. We also had Superman from Gold, the song with Goldfinger from Tony Hawk. That was a suggestion of Elle's the Witch. Loads of songs that are in there already. What about these then? DW in the Discord suggests the Mountain Hymn from Red Dead 2.
Oh, I don't know if I know that one.
It's moving. You went to hear it because I went back and listened to it. So DW, absolutely. But because I went back and listened to it, right? And you'll hear a bit of it now. But, okay, yes, absolutely to that. But my call, can you remember Unshaken? The song Unshaken in Red Dead 2. And I tell you why I remember it, because it's the first time I remember a game where a song with lyrics managed to match what you were doing in an open world setting. It was so clever. So I think the both of those should go in, absolutely, to the playlist.
I'm not going to... Listen, you got good taste. DW's got good taste. I'm not going to dispute it. It's going in.
I have got a good taste. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hexana on the Discord suggested the theme to Papers, Please. Glory to Astakotsa. I've messed that pronunciation.
Fantastic game, though.
Great game.
Yeah.
It's an interesting choice, Hexana, so I'd say, but cool. It's your choice.
It's not about a one specific vibe. This is the playlist.
Yeah, it's the playlist.
For different moods.
Yeah, exactly. Listen. And you can curate that mood with all you want within the playlist. That's cool.
That's right.
And then a DJ has suggested an absolute banger, which I'm not going to lie to you, I only heard when I saw this. Home Call... The song from the game Road 96.
Yeah, Road 96 is a fantastic game. Came out during lockdown.
Yeah, great game. We reviewed it in one of our old episodes back in the day. Great game, even better soundtrack. And this song in particular, DJ, has made it. And it is an absolute corker. Great shout. And we've also got Cammy, who does all our hard work editing Press X, making it sound super slick and getting it up online on time. He wants Last Surprise from Persona 5 in there. You never see it coming.
You see that my mind is the best for us. Cammy, it's going in.
Cammy, you've
consider it there. It's there.
It's jazzy. It's bouncing. It's amazing. Yep. One of the most surprising soundtracks of the last decade, says Cammy. So there we are, Cammy.
Oh, big talk.
Last Surprise from Persona 5 in the Press X Ultimate Gaming Play. We've got to think of a better name than that. That's
hey, let's not. We already know what the naming goes like around here.
Yeah, let's not do that. Let's not do that.
Keep the name.
We're sticking with the name. well, I know. This has been a delight. We're back at it. 2025. Press X is back. We're here. We're going. It's great.
Feels good. I'm, you know what? I'm so pleased that there's so many returning people have come back to the pod, and so many new people as well. It's good to see loads of new people, and like people being very vocal about like their opinions. Jumping in the Discord. It's really nice to kind of wake up in the morning. I get like notifications. And I'm seeing people like messaging us in response to the various clips and bits and bobs. So like, thank you very much for that, guys. You guys have been awesome.
Yeah, it's been wicked. And we've got some cool plans for 2025 for the podcast. So stick with us. And we hope, we look forward to be able to get into some of our grand schemes and ideas, which we won't say now, Einel, because we want to keep them as a big surprise.
Okay.
So look.
Is it Press X lap blankets? Is it Press X lap blankets?
So for those who don't watch it, Einel... has his room's cold, so he's got a blanket over his lap called the lap blanket.
Oh, you got to have a lap blanket.
It's an essential. I am.
It's an essential item.
It's
a cost of living crisis.
Turn the heating off. Get the lamp blanket on.
Yeah. Can afford to turn yours on. I thought you had two kids.
Hey, well, look, that is it for this episode of Press X to Continue. Like we say, don't forget to get involved by messaging us on Press X Pod or Press X Podcast. And if you do comment on the posts, then we will send you a link to the brand new Discord server, and you can find the link on the socials anyway, if you want to. We'll have another retro episode of Press X coming up on Thursday, which is basically where we put all our back catalogue of episodes out for you to listen on brand new podcast platforms. And that comes out every Thursday. And we will be back where normal service will resume on Tuesday for more fun. Einel, I shall see you then. Take care, my friend. See you soon.
Ta-ta.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.